Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy, the global economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake of The Hill, a columnist of Fox News, a columnist, LizPeake.com, where to find Liz's columns. All of them gathered together this morning. We begin with a headline in London, a headline that is as threatening as you're going to imagine. Bessent slams China. Who is Scott Bessent, the Secretary of the Treasury, with a reputation of being a market whisperer and a very diplomatic man. Bessent slams China, colon, the quote, they want to pull everybody else down with them, end quote. So the explanation from the FT. U.S. Treasury Secretary tells FT that Beijing's export controls are, quote, a sign of how weak their economy is. Liz, a very good evening to you. This is rough talk from a man whose reputation is not the opposite. However, he is not inaccurate. He's being candid here. The economy in China is broken. No one knows if it can be fixed short of a Japanification, which could last a decade. These are not revelations. Everybody carries with them all the time, although there's gameplay. However, now Bessent is throwing it back at the Chinese. If you're going to withhold or make it difficult or interrupt the supply chain of rare earths, we're going to tell the truth to the American people and the world. Do you believe that we've hit a full stop here, or is this, in your regard, something that can be walked around? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, it cannot be walked around. The United States needs rare earths for everything. I mean, for, you know, manufacturing cars and smartphones and just about everything you can think of. And of course, the tragedy here is that we have rare earths in the United States. We probably have more rare earths than China actually does. But we don't have any means of processing them. And we have allowed our mining of them also to basically fall into disrepair. There have been in the last year some efforts to begin again exploiting our rare earth resources. And there is at least one facility for processing it in the construction phase. But John, it's going to take a while. And the tragedy, which I don't think is too strong a word, is we let this happen. We let it happen because this is China's game plan. They go to a market, they corner a product and basically flood the market with exports that made in China, and then they go overseas with flooding exports to various markets and basically drive everybody else out of the business. This has happened over and over again. And then, like our companies that went under, America has to turn to China for its product, and then they begin to tighten their grip. This happens to be an essential product, and the United States should have seen this coming, should have known that China, our adversary, could take advantage of this weakness in our supply chain at any point. And now they have done this. But, we've had president after president basically unaware or unable to really confront the idea that China was not our friend, that China was never going to be helpful to the United States, and that at some point we would indeed be at loggerheads. And here we are. So that's in the past. The question is, what do we do going forward? First of all, of course, the Trump response has been to slap enormous tariffs on China. Bessent, I think, is kind of right that this move by Beijing threatens not just our economy, but theirs as well, because if we do follow through with very, very high tariffs on Chinese exports, their economy is going to go into the ditch. It already is under pressure. It only is going to get worse.
Let me read the Bessent quote to illustrate your remark, Liz. Maybe there is some Leninist business model where hurting your customer is a good idea, but they are the largest supplier to the world. If they want to slow down the global economy, they will be hurt the most. That's rough, Liz, and that's candid.
Yeah, I think it's true. Now, we just had export numbers from China showing that their exports are actually up in spite of tariffs and so forth. Who knows what that means? But what they're doing, John, is not just rare earths that is right now controversial about Chinese exports. They're also exporting, again, flooding markets with Chinese EVs, causing a price war in China, actually selling within China, but also really threatening European automakers and to a lesser degree, American automakers, because they're coming in with cheap, very high quality EVs with the absolute purpose of driving competitors out of the business. And I think Europe has finally awakened to this threat. They put in various kinds of tariffs of their own after railing about American tariffs, of course. And we've made it difficult for the Chinese to sell in America. But this is their MO. And China really has no other recourse, because for a decade they've been trying to build their consumer economy. All the efforts to get Chinese consumers to spend and build a more robust domestic economy such as exists in the United States have failed. So it is still an export-driven economy and a government investment-driven economy. And right now it is not working. You hear rumors and speculation that President Xi is in trouble and that his efforts to reboot the economy, which are so lagging, are going to really cause his demise eventually. And so maybe that's what's happening here. Maybe Xi sort of views himself in this great battle with Donald Trump. Donald Trump has a magnificent international achievement, achieving a ceasefire in Gaza, and Xi has to sort of muddy the waters by throwing this tariff announcement into the mix. I don't know, but you just have to kind of hope that at some point the interests of China and the interests of the Chinese people will be more motivating to President Xi than trying to rattle America's very strong economy.
Continuing with the quotes in the Financial Times by the Secretary of the Treasury, an interview with the FT, and Mr. Besant knows exactly what he's doing. He said, they, China, are in the middle of a recession depression, and they are trying to export their way out of it. The problem is they're exacerbating their standing in the world. Exactly what you just said, Liz, maybe more artfully or surrounding the matter rather than coming to it. However, I contribute some details. The rare earth production out of China, which is said to be 70% of the world's product, of where we get it, 70%, turns on one mine in one Inner Mongolian town that is a prison camp, 2,200 families. This is anecdotal. I'm not looking at the fact book that you can check. It is China. 2,200 families, mostly Han Chinese, surveillance cameras and identity checks everywhere, leukemia rate 2 to 3 times the national average, and they keep forced migration to keep families in. One town, little town, that used to be grassland. The Japanese took it over during the Manchukuo period of the 30s, turned it into an iron mine, didn't know about rare earths. That's what we're looking at right now. Germany is more than threatened. The German car company is broken if those rare earths are cut off or limited or in any fashion we come to a supply chain that's disrupted. So the Chinese know all this. It's equivalent, Liz, to being a child and saying, if you don't make me the pitcher of the baseball team, I'm going to take the ball and go home because you don't have one. That's what they're doing. Is that obvious? Does this strike you as something that they're looking for a negotiation, or is it some rage on their part?
Possibly both. Again, it's just hard to know. Chinese politics are so obscure and hidden that we really don't know what kind of power struggle is going on in the Chinese country. And I mean, remember that for 10 years or so, China has been extremely aggressive in rattling its neighbors, invading territorial waters, positioning its gunboats near Taiwan, all this kind of thing. But they've been pretty careful not to offend the United States, because remember that our imports of Chinese goods are way bigger than anybody else's. We have the big consumer market in the entire world. We dominate consumer spending. And heretofore, China has respected their dependence on our consumer. Now it appears that sort of, you know, it's really no holds barred, that they are willing to engage with the United States in a way that they haven't been before. It's sort of difficult to know why because we don't really know what the internal politics of this are. I think a failing economy is not good for President Xi. I think he, as you remember, he took total control of the economy onto himself a few years ago. And all the decisions kind of come home to roost with him. So I don't know whether this is lashing out in a desperate effort to make someone else's situation look worse. I have no idea. But it's dangerous, John. It is very dangerous.
Let's speak of one domestic matter that you've raised with me this morning that I don't entirely understand. There is the collapse of one or two companies that do loans to people for cars. And they're said to be in trouble, and it has something to do with what you tell me I should say, private credit. What is it, Liz? What's happening?
Well, an awful lot of lending in the last several years has been undertaken by so-called private credit market. And most recently, what's happened is that the failure of First Brands really kind of came to the public's attention, or drove the public attention to the possible credit risks in that marketplace. First Brands is an auto loan color. Another company, Tricolor, also has gone bankrupt. And these are companies that are making subprime loans, auto loans, and both have filed for bankruptcy. And so I think the subprime word always raises the ghosts of the Great Recession of 2007, 2008, because it was subprime home loans that precipitated, if you remember, the collapse of the home market. Auto loans don't have that kind of heft. The market isn't as big, and the subprime portion of it is large, but it's not enough to undermine our entire lending apparatus in this country, which, as you remember, happened in the Great Recession. Nonetheless, this is kind of significant, hundreds of millions of dollars of losses for companies like Jefferies. And so I think people are now beginning to say, wait a minute, maybe in these private lenders, they have taken a looser, they're not regulated the way banks are. Maybe there is more credit risk here than we were aware of. One little factoid about First Brands, I think, is that they were lending a lot of money to people who were in the country illegally, subprime borrowers. And a lot of those people, frankly, John, have left the country, and they left their cars and trucks behind. So, you know, you've had a tremendous amount of defaults. By the way, generally speaking, an awful lot of auto loans across the country now are in default. I think the number's at 6%. That's a very high number. And it raises questions about the solidity of the consumer, not the high-end consumer, of course, but the low-end consumer. That's where the weakness in spending is. It's not bad yet. Bank of America's Institute this past week said even the low end continues to see higher wages and higher spending, but it's certainly not at the rate that the higher income quintiles are looking at right now. Anyway, this is just some people think that the big market sell-off last week and again today is more about private credit markets being under stress than it is tariffs, because after all, we've had a number of tariff scares, and almost always the right thing to do is to buy on the dip, because those tariffs get rearranged pretty quickly. Whether that'll be the case this time or not, obviously we don't know.
Elizabeth Peake for The Hill, for Fox News. We're turning to In Praise of the President of the United States. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.